What's the Flash's favorite movie? Fast and Furious. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of August 14th, 2016. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Cube.
Was it Fast and Furious or was it The Fast and Furious? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Maybe The Fast and Furious was like the fifth one.
Four Fast, Three Furious.
Yeah, it got real dumb. Fast Five? Yeah. Naming conventions. Real dumb. On that movie series. Tell you what, it was really difficult for me to find a joke this week, as we have very few things in the notes. And yeah, you know, the less things in the notes means the less options I have to look for jokes pertaining to a subject. Mm-hmm. Makes it difficult. Plus, I've used Flash jokes before, and I'm reading them going, oh, I used that one. Oh, I've used that one. Oh, I've used that one. I gotta stop using the Flash jokes, apparently.
Nobody will remember the old ones.
This is probably accurate. Except for me. I'll remember. Yeah, so, like I said, we have a... It's probably going to be short. Unless we decide to just fill it all up with rambling like we often do with short notes. So I guess we should just get right in and we'll start with the sad news. Yesterday, that would be August the 13th, Kenny Baker, the actor who portrayed R2-D2, and he was also in Flash Gordon and Time Bandits, died. He was found dead by his nephew, who was helping take care of him, because he had been ill for a while. He made 81. He was 81 years old, so, I mean, that's actually quite old for a little person, because they generally, much like people who are obscenely tall, they generally have more health issues.
Yeah. Complications,
etc. Yeah, they have health complications, usually because, well, their bodies are not normal. And so, so he'd been ill for a while. That's why he wasn't at the Force Awakens premiere, because he was not allowed to travel. He was not healthy enough to travel. It's really unfortunate, but, you know, everybody has nothing but good things to say about that guy, so.
Except Anthony Daniels for the most part while he was alive.
Yeah, well, Anthony Daniels is a dick. And this is a fact. Anthony Daniels is always kind of a dick. But yeah.
It's sad.
It's sad news. But, you know, 81 is not... Yeah, it's nothing to shake a stick at. That's a good age. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll move off that into better news. More hopeful news for the future.
Oh boy, so exciting news.
Oh, there is... The Rogue One trailer, quote-unquote story trailer.
Yeah.
Released. And it's good. It's really good.
It's really good.
I quite like it. Get to see a bunch of stuff. Like, a bunch of new things that we had not seen. Get a better look at a little bit of a couple of different planets. One of which, because I mean, I assume there's multiple planets going on there, because the Jedhaw looks like a desert D-type. And then later they're walking through like a beach and with like palm trees and shit. So I assume there's at least two planets going on there. Because we all know Star Wars, only one planet can only have one ecosystem. Let's see what else did we see in that. A little bit more of Donnie Yen.
Yeah, he's talking about the Force.
Talking about the Force. A little more Saw Gerrera, Forrest Whitaker. A not-so-shaved Forrest Whitaker. He's a lot hairier in this one than he was in the last trailer. There was something else, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, you get to see and hear the droid.
Yeah. Voiced by...
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
And it's great, and I like it.
Yeah, but, for the most part, it doesn't add any more knowledge about it.
Not really. It's a story trailer in the fact that people talk in this one.
Yeah. We already had a pretty good idea of the story.
But it's still mostly just a setting the the feeling and the tone more than anything else. Oh, and also at the end we got to see Darth Vader. Which apparently was a surprise to people on the internet. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Why would you be surprised? Obviously. He's alive, he's going to show up.
In the trailer, too.
Oh, it's excellent.
It looks, this trailer is just good to look at.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
The TIE fighter coming up as she walks toward it.
Yep.
Bridge.
The last shot before Darth Vader shows up.
Yeah. And the Star Destroyer hovering over
the city.
The Star Destroyer coming into light slowly.
Yeah, you see in that shot where they one of the shots where they show the Star Destroyer over the city, you see some weird looking shuttles. They're very small. They're in the distance, and that might be why they look weird, but they look like they have more wings.
Yeah, they showed that in another shot too.
Multiple folding wings.
In a shot where they pan over the city, there's two of them. Yeah, this guy. They look weird.
And I also think this is our first look at the U-Wing, actually in a trailer, right? I don't think it was in the first trailer.
I think it was in one of the first trailers, but not as prominently. It was just like a quick shot.
Which I still hate saying U-Wing. I don't like it. It's annoying for me to say. U-Wing. But yeah, no, it was a great trailer. There we have a link in the notes. It's worth a watch. Or five.
Seven.
I should have watched it immediately before this because I meant to, but I was busy, hunting demons. Which we'll get to later. So I guess we'll move to the last thing in movies, unless you have something else to say about Rogue One.
I'm excited.
So, Resident Evil. You know those movies? Yeah, well, they're making another one, apparently. I had not heard about this until there's now a trailer for it. Resident Evil, the final chapter. For real this time.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, it's a really long trailer, too. I just had to go find the link, because apparently I forgot to actually post the link in the show notes. It's like it's a solid 2+ minutes of trailer for Resident Evil. Really long. But yeah, you know, you've got your Mila Jovovich. She's going back to Raccoon City, which was never mentioned in the first movie. That was not the name of the city. They didn't say it. If I recall, the first movie was fairly distanced from the actual game series. There was no characters or names in common.
I haven't seen any of these.
Oh, you haven't? I've seen the first one. And maybe the second one. I've seen the first one for sure. It's fine. It's not great.
It's fun. Yeah,
this one looks kind of fun. They're killing zombies, and she's driving a motorcycle that's got more advanced tech than we have. Like, she starts her motorcycle with her, there's a little screen. She puts her thumb on it, and it's like, engine engaged, and the car turns on. I'm like, what the fuck is that? We don't have that. And there's other people, good people and bad people, as well as zombies. So it's not just them killing mindless zombies. You know.
Not just.
It's Resident Evil. It's fine. You know, if you got a spare 3 minutes.
I'd say watch the trailer. It's probably worth it.
There's also, it's not in the show notes, but because it's still a rumor. Going back to Star Wars, there's the rumor about, because even Lando hasn't actually been confirmed yet.
Oh, yeah.
In the Young Han Solo movie. I was looking into it because Tom was talking about it, or he posted it on Facebook, about how they're saying they want Donald Glover to play young Lando. I'm looking into it, and it's like, they haven't even confirmed. I would have put it in the notes if they had confirmed young Lando in the movie, in the Young Han Solo movie. That's all just rumors still. It's just too bad.
I've seen a sweet Photoshop face swap.
Put Donald Glover's face.
Mustache and everything.
In a blue cape. Just put Donald Glover in a blue cape, and there it is. I mean, really, put anybody in a blue cape, you're like, hey, you must be being Lando. You're trying to be Lando, aren't you? You're wearing a blue cape. Who else wears blue capes?
Since I haven't seen him in anything other than Community? And Martian, I haven't seen him do that kind of role.
He was in The Martian?
Martian, yeah.
The one that's based on the book?
Yeah.
Oh. I still haven't seen that movie, obviously.
You should, it's good.
I'm sure it is, but I don't know, I haven't gotten around to it.
On Netflix.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So is a million other, my list is like 50 plus things long, man.
It's true.
A lot of that is stand-up comedy, though. Donald Glover's used to be on Netflix. I'm not sure if it still is. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know Donald Glover is showing up in Spider-Man. So, that's a thing. He could, I don't know, make the jump from Spider-Man to Star Wars. Who knows? Anyway, we'll move on to TV. Starting with a trailer. For a proper trailer for Luke Cage, as opposed to the last one, which was just sort of a teaser trailer. Did you watch this trailer, Andrew?
No, I was going to and forgot.
Yeah, you're a terrible person.
Thank you.
No, it's good. It shows a little bit more. Again, it's got a little more talking. Shows a little more what of the guy convincing Luke that he needs to use his powers for good and not just like hide them away.
Yeah.
We see some Claire action, because apparently she's just going to show up in all of them.
Why not?
I'm not sure how I'm most interested in how she's going to get worked in Iron Fist.
That's funny. It shows him in the getting his powers, I guess.
Oh yeah, I mean there's at least Oh yeah, when he gets out of the
and he gets out and he's got the braces.
He's got the braces and the tiara.
That's awesome. I love that shot.
The throwback to weird 70s.
Well done, Mark.
Weird 70s Luke Cage. Yeah. This weird tiara thing. Yeah. That is pretty great. That's a great shot.
That's awesome.
Shows him. punching people and getting punched and physics not working properly because, you know, comic book stuff where the guy punches him in the face and, like, crushes his own hand, where that's not really how it would work. It's a good, it's a cool shot, but it's, I was like, no, that's not, I mean, he would still feel it. His skin's unbreakable, but, you know, he's still got nerve endings and bones.
Clothes.
Oh, yeah, the clothes tear up all the time. Bullet holes in all his clothes.
One person said he might be bulletproof, but Harlem ain't.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody said that. That was a person in that trailer.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know who it was either. Yeah, some lady. But it's a good trailer. Everybody should watch that one. Because that's coming soon-ish. When is that coming?
It's coming 30th of September.
Right, yeah, very soon. That's a month and a half away. And then everybody else in the world, everybody else can binge it and I'll watch it over like 4 months or something. Like it took us to watch Jessica Jones. It took us forever. Or Daredevil Season 2 also took us forever to watch.
Yeah, it took us forever to start it, but we didn't watch it. It didn't take long for watching it. Still haven't seen the last episode of Jessica Jones.
Why not?
I'm a horrible person.
You are a horrible person. All right, well, you go work on that after the episode or something. And for now, we'll talk about the flashy news from CW and DC, I suppose. I wrote flashy news because there's two stories involving the Flash. One is that they're putting Mirror Master, which is one of the more well-known Flash villains. They're putting him in the show next season, which is season like 3. So it's surprising that they haven't done a Mirror Master prior to now. And they have cast a guy named Grey Damon. That's Grey Damon. That is straight out of a book. That is a fictional character's name.
Yeah.
Apparently he was in Friday Night Lights and The 9 Lives of Chloe King. Anyway, Sam Scudder, who's Mirror Master, he's a criminal with a huge ego, and he has the power to travel through any reflective surface.
Interesting.
Hence, Mirror Master. Yeah. He travels through mirrors and shit.
What does that mean?
Which is very interesting. I don't know. Okay? He can go in mirrors. I don't know what travel through exactly means. I mean, I know he obviously, if he's standing in front of him, he could go into it. I'm not sure how the traveling through mirrors works so much.
Is it just like a parallel dimension where he's on the other side, I guess?
I don't know. You'll just have to catch up on two seasons of Flash and then watch this season to find out.
You know, it'd be worth it for that one scene with King Shark.
Probably. And I would say most importantly of the news pertaining to Flash, in this upcoming season, they're going to do another Supergirl and Flash crossover, which makes sense, obviously, now that they're on the same network. They would do that more often.
Yeah.
And most importantly about that, it's going to be a two-episode musical crossover. They're doing musical episodes next season.
Sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
I really like the sounds of this show.
I saw a rumor today that Joss Whedon might be directing one.
Yes,
which would make sense since he's done music episodes of Buffy and whatnot. But again, that's just a rumor. I just saw it today. I didn't look into it. And also, I did not know this, but both Grant Gustin, the guy who plays The Flash, and Melissa Benoist, who plays Supergirl, were both on Glee. So, it makes sense for them to be doing musical.
Wow. What a world.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to be another crossover. It's going to be, as with the Arrow crossovers, it's one episode of Supergirl, one episode of Flash, so it's a two-episode crossover, and it's going to be musical. There's a lot of people hoping that it'll probably be like Music Meister, who is a villain. I don't exactly remember what Music Meister does, but there's something musically. Because in Batman the Brave and the Bold, which is the animated series that I never watched, they had an episode that was sort of musical because of Music Meister, so it would possibly make sense for them to do it. Do it with that guy. Have it do it in the live action. And they're hoping, if people are hoping that they do use Music Meister, they will have Neil Patrick Harris do it, because Neil Patrick Harris is the one who did the voice and all the stuff for Batman the Brave and the Bold. And, you know, musical Neil Patrick Harris also makes sense.
He has the ability to hypnotize people by singing.
Interesting. Well, there's also a couple other, quick things. Just over the course of all of the shows, Supergirl's going to introduce Miss Motion. Because they already have Martian Manhunter, and also they have Mon-El. I don't know who Mon-El is, but apparently it's a Kryptonian coming. No idea who Mon-El is. Do you? Nope. Mon-El. I should search that. Largand. I've heard that name. Largand, alternatively known as Valor and Mon-El, is a finished. He was associated with the Legion of Superheroes, Superboy, and Superman. He's, one of those super whatchamacallits. There's so many of those people. That's not important. What is important is Dolph Lundgren is going to be coming to Arrow as a Russian villain.
Sweet.
Yep. Dolph Lundgren. That's going to be great. And moving on to our next point in the notes, the CW Seed, which is like where they put their animated stuff. Like they have, what was the other show? They did another one that where they had the person show up in like one episode of Arrow or Flash, and then they had that, and then she does the voice for that character. I wish I could Vixen. They had Vixen show up in like one episode before the animated series, and the person who played Vixen voices Vixen in the animated series. So it looks like they're going to do that again with, they're going to do a show called Freedom Fighters, The Ray. The Ray being the superhero. And people are real, I'm sure pretty soon the arguments are going to happen, because he's going to be the first gay superhero to lead a show. Because apparently, the Ray is gay. And I don't really care about that. But, people are going to be talking about that soon.
Naturally.
Because it's the internet. So it'll premiere in 2017. After he appears in live action in one of the shows. They don't know. They have not yet announced what actor will play it, but they had said that they're going to do the same thing. The person who's going to play it live action will then voice it in the animated series. This guy was, he was created in 92, the character of the Ray, by Jack Harris and Joe Quesada, which is a name you should recognize because he's super famous in comics. Andrew, even you should recognize the name Joe Quesada.
Sure. I'm Sure, I do.
He was pretty big. He did Batman for a while, and pretty big. What else did he? He's actually made a lot. He created quite a few characters. Did Batman for a while. Spider-Man, big, important to Daredevil. He's very important to Daredevil. Did some Spider-Man, some X-Men stuff, Iron Man. Trust me, if you went to go, you went to, I bet Tom would recognize the name Joe Quesada, or anybody who was actually into comics and their creators.
That's grossly.
Yeah. This guy, the Ray, whose name is Raymond Terrell. So, you know, his name is Raymond Ray Terrell. So he didn't go far for his first super name, but it also makes sense with what his power is. He was a reporter. He discovered a group of scientists working on a project to turn light into a weapon of mass destruction. And they tried to kill him by using a by exposing him to a genetic light bomb. It didn't kill him. It gave him light-based powers. So his powers are all based on light. And that's why he's called the Ray, like Ray of Light.
Right.
And then he got recruited by the government and the Freedom Fighters, which is probably some sort of vigilante subset of the government. You know, some sort of... it technically answers to the government, but the government's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not ours. No way. You know how they do in fiction. All the time.
All the time.
All right. That's that for TV. So, Andrew, am I to understand that you farmed with Russian mechs yesterday?
Oh, boy, did I ever. Played a 5-player game and just learning about how to play Scythe yesterday. It says on the box 115 minutes of gameplay.
I figured that's what you meant, not 115 hours.
Yeah. Oh boy. The second you see the box, it is a pretty box. You pick it up and it's got some heft. Open it up, and there is nothing but gorgeous inside. I would buy this game, even if it sucked.
Is it Fantasy Flight levels of heavy?
You know, yeah.
Those boxes are fucking always heavy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as heavy as Twilight Imperium, but pretty heavy. So it's got... a single player mode in it as well.
As a lot of games do now, they put single player variants. Firefly does, and I think Zaya does.
It's like its own whole separate thing. It's got separate decks of cards, separate rules. Its own rule book. And I only looked at that a little bit, but it sounds interesting. There's ways to change the difficulty. Looks cool. They give you an achievement sheet. It's two-sided, and you just write down people who get certain achievements, like putting down all your victory points without winning, or being the first to win a multiplayer game, being the first to win a solitaire game.
Yeah. I think Fives Vital on the game I backed on Kickstarter is doing something like that too. Doing some sort of achievements.
Kind of neat. And more about the contents of this. It's got the board. It's got the faction character sheet. And it's got like a player sheet where you manage all your resources, your technology, and your production. And it's got little, like, indented bits where you put meeples and blocks and stuff. Hmm. And they cover up certain things. So you got these blocks that slot into place on your player card. and you pay money and you can remove them from the top part, which is the benefit of something, like getting more workers or producing resources. Like you'll get an extra pile of resources or something. And then you take that block and you move it to the bottom part where you cover up something like a cost, the cost of deploying a mech or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that all is super neat. And the mechs are all different for each faction. Like they look different. They function the same. Except for stuff that is mentioned on the faction character card. Each faction has special abilities, and it's really sweet. The version that Evan has full metal coins.
Nice.
And they look so good. And the mechs look so good, and the characters look so good. And all of the artwork in this game is just the best. I love this game so much.
It's going to be available to purchase soon, right? I imagine.
You can purchase it, but they're on back order right now.
Yeah.
If you can still purchase it now and get some Kickstarter stuff with it. And it's $82 Canadian.
That's not terrible.
Before shipping.
I assumed it was before shipping. It's still not terrible, really.
No. Considering what's in this?
Yeah, board games are stupid expensive. Steal. Especially if they've got miniatures and coins and all that.
Yeah.
The more parts to Jenga.
And there's... Well, the one half of the board is a small game. And the other half of the board, you flip it over, and it's half of a map, and you can get another half of the map.
Mm. An extent, like the Firefly expansion. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got what we called on-disc DLC. There's two spots for two factions in the game. They're not in the game yet.
Oh.
Going to be future expansions.
On disk DLC.
Yeah, so we could see them. We just can't use them until we pay money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. It took us about a half hour, 45 minutes to figure it out, but once we figure it out, it goes by real fast.
And is that what you're doing instead of watching Rocket League yesterday?
Yes.
Because I sent you like 3 messages about it.
I saw them.
You should have put it on in the background, man.
I probably could have. I had my tablet.
Which I suppose, not that they'll hear this, but I'll shout out to my friend Jocelyn, who went 3-3 in the Hearthstone tournament at DreamHack Montreal, which is not, I mean, it's not bad. It's not amazing. She wasn't too happy with it. And my shout out to my friend Matt, Ping Pong Pete, who went, his team went 3rd overall in the DreamHack tournament for Rocket League. That is $400 between 3 people. That's what they want for getting 3rd overall.
That is pretty good.
And that, yeah.
That's a great name drop.
Sure. Mostly, the team name was the best. It was the A-Team, but EH, because they're Canadian, they're all from Ontario, so they were the A-Team.
Great. Yep. Saw some highlights of Rocket League, and I'm not sure if they were from
DreamHack.
Yeah, it was a tournament.
It was real fun to watch. I was pretty hyped up. It's much more fun to watch those things when you have somebody to cheer for. So, you know, sometimes I watch like esports. I'm like, I don't really care who wins, so it's less exciting.
Yeah, you need like a team or something. Like, usually I'll cheer for, like, Cloud Nine or Evil Geniuses or...
I was, in the first game I watched, I was specifically cheering against That's It. It was That's It Gaming Black. It was against Les Québécois, and I was like, I don't want the actual... I want the independent team to win. Because all there was two That's It games. There was That's It Gaming Black and That's It Gaming White. And they were all wearing the same t-shirt and everything. I was like, I don't like you guys. I want the independent people who don't look the same. The independent teams. I want them to win. I don't actually know who won overall. In That's It Gaming Black versus Les Québécois, That's It Gaming Black went. And then That's It Gaming White versus the A-Team. The A-Team demolished them. It was the winners semifinals, best out of five, went 3-0 in games. Didn't lose a single game to That's It Gaming White. Wow. And then in That's It Gaming Black beat the A-Team in the winners final, because this is a double elimination tournament, so you have to lose twice to actually be out. So they beat the A-Team in the winners final to move on to the grand final, and then the A-Team lost to Les Québécois in the losers final, so I didn't pay attention after that. I did not watch the grand final, because Eric and I went out to dinner and stuff. So I don't actually know who won. Probably That's It Gaming Black, since the people who win the losers final then go up to the grand final against somebody who hasn't lost yet. So then the people who, because of the double elimination tournament, you have to lose twice to actually lose.
Oh, okay.
So That's It Gaming Black would have had to lose best out of seven twice, which is like impossible. I assume That's It Gaming Black won. I feel that's going to be a safe assumption. Just because best out of seven games, best out of seven is a lot of games to play anyway. Best out of seven twice would probably be crazy.
Yes. Usually.
It's got the potential to go to 14 games. Plus, before that, they played the losers bracket finals, which was a best of five. So, oh, there it is. So, in the first round of the grand final, Les Québécois went 4-1. So they beat That's It Gaming Black. And then in the second round of the grand final, That's It Gaming Black 4-2. So That's It Gaming Black won. But not by a lot. It was close. That's your update from DreamHack, guys. Hearthstone and CS:GO are happening today, I think.
CS:GO is great.
The finals. Rocket League is actually surprisingly great to watch, because I guess they have a spectator mode.
Yeah.
It's actually a really nice mode to watch it in. It'd be stupid to play it in, but really nice mode to watch it in. So, Scythe was awesome.
Scythe is amazing. Other games are awesome. Totally lives up to the hype. 100%. Everyone should own it.
Gamescom. That's happening sometime soon.
Yeah, it's happening starting on the 17th. It goes till the 21st. It is the big, I guess, press event-y kind of thing.
It's a pretty much a press event.
In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people are going to be there. And there's going to be lots of news.
I think Blizzard is going to be there. Either that, or they're just showing, because they're showing their Bastion animated short.
Yeah, there.
There, yeah. Which is surprising.
Blizzard's going to be there, yeah.
Because Blizzard hasn't been to Gamescom before. Not for a while, I don't think.
I think Gamescom's getting bigger.
That is definitely true. It is getting bigger and more international.
Yeah.
So
there's gonna be lots of people and Star Citizen.
Lots of news
there, and there's gonna be lots of news. Next.
So even if we have no other news, I'm sure games are just gonna be long.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of Blizzard. Demons. They're being hunted, like I mentioned before. So on the 9th, right? That was the date. Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday the 9th. If you were one of the people who pre-ordered World of Warcraft Legion, you got access to Demon Hunters, the new hero class, so you could do the starting zone. Also launched the Broken Isles scenario, where some real shit goes down. And the Demon Invasions, also launched on Tuesday, which are quite fun. And is a great way to get some gear. Oh, level 700. I-level 700 gear.
Yeah. 700 plus. As you
plus. Because then you can upgrade them. Yeah. And they're fun. They're... I actually really, really like the Demon Invasions. Because back in the pre... Do you remember pre-Cata? The pre-Cataclysm events?
I think so.
The elemental invasions of the capital cities?
Yeah, yeah.
I loved those. I did them, even though there was no point in doing them after a certain point, I did them every time I could. So I just really, really loved them.
They were cool.
And this is a lot like that. You're instanced with a bunch of people, killing demons, killing more demons, destroying buildings and other things that they're trying to invade you with, and killing the demon commander, and then you get stuff. And luckily they have disabled PvP in those instances where the demon invasion is happening. I'm pretty sure you cannot attack another player.
Right.
While doing the demon invasions.
I would imagine so. I don't play on any PvP servers, but I would really hope that's the case.
Well, I see some things like their nameplates show up because I have enemy nameplates on. And they show up yellow, and every so often, if you misclick and they'll show up. Like you'll misclick. You're trying to click a demon. You accidentally click an alliance character, and you try and do an ability if you're not paying attention. And it's like, you can't do that. And like, oh, but it might just be that it wouldn't be, I suppose, that I have my PvP off, because then it would just toggle on as I tried to attack him. Because yeah. that's how that usually works. So I believe they've shut down PvP in that instance, because you'd get the hell trolled out of people. People would come and just try and kill everybody who was attacking the demons.
Speaking of trolling, the other half of this invasion content is if you're just like hanging out in like a major city or something, you can get whispers to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then you come under the influence of the Legion, where it just basically means you shift phases and you get like a new skill bar and you're kind of like invisible.
You're an enemy.
Yeah, and then you're an enemy, and then you go up to other players and you start like draining them, converting them.
I have seen this, but I didn't know what the hell was happening.
And if you get enough of the power there, you eventually become outed as a like a Legion supporter.
Yeah, and then people attack you.
Flag PvP against everything around you. You've got some vanish abilities, but it's got like a 5-minute cooldown. The end goal is to like stay alive long enough to drain enough people that you can just become a giant demon.
I saw somebody who got like base, not quite Dreadlord size, but just about. He looked like a Dreadlord.
Yeah.
More or less.
And it's strong.
Yeah. Well, they had a bunch of people attacking him. I was just trying to walk to... This was with my Night Elf Demon Hunter. And I was just trying to get back to where they tucked the Demon Hunters in Stormwind. And I was just walking up to the door, and then there's just enemies. And everybody's just attacking them. I'm like, I'm just going to stand here because I have no idea what's happening right now. What?
That'd be what's happening.
Yeah.
I think it's really neat, because the launch stuff that I really liked a lot has been like the pre-release for Northrend.
Wrath, yeah. Wrath the King. You get turned into a zombie.
You basically spread the zombie plague. You turn into a zombie, then you kill another guy, they turn into a zombie, and then it just spreads and steamrolls. And
then people were going and entering, like, instances with people and converting all of them, and then, yeah, no. It was actually, and it is viewed, is looked at scientifically as a potential, like, by people who actually study plagues as a model to look at for how a plague might spread.
It was great. That was my favorite.
That's how intense it was. Yeah. That was a pretty good one.
Andy and I led basically a raid that sat on the boat between Stranglethorn Vale and I don't remember where else.
Barrens. If it's a boat, it's between Ratchet. Oh. In that case, if it's the airship, it was either Aurig or Undercity.
Yeah, one of them. we were sitting on the boat, and then, like, you'd show up, and then people would get on, and then that. They would die. So
you just, like, hide in the stairwell, basically?
Yeah. There was like a whole raid of us, and it was beautiful. We eventually got off at Stranglethorn Vale and just went rolling through it. That was such a good event. Anyway, I really like the Demon Hunter. I might
Paint it. Demon Hunter is pretty fun.
Get it all. A triple jump and glide.
The double jump and glide. Which, by the way, is actually also a halfway decent escape, because that glide gets you some forward momentum.
Yeah, especially when you dash while you're doing it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for one of my guys, only one of my Demon Hunters has dash. Although I'm pretty sure you can use the jump as an escape, too. It is a targeted thing. You don't have to... You have to hit it and click, so that's also an escape. The dash is better, but once I got used to the tank, I don't mind it. Once I got used to the different abilities, I don't mind doing the tank abilities. I also think I'm killing things faster as the tank, which is weird.
That is weird.
But it might have been that I was paying more attention to what my abilities do, because with the DPS, I was like, I don't know, let's just face roll these things. Just face roll all the demons. I don't care. Plus, I don't like I-beam. I don't really like that ability that much.
Oh, I-beam.
I mean, it's a fine ability, I just don't use it, I should say.
Yeah, the talent makes it longer, for sure.
But yes, Demon Hunters are fun. Demonic Invasions are fun. Well, no, it's been a pretty good pre-patch. So on Thursday, going to the next point, on Thursday, the 11th, the party at Karazhan started. In Hearthstone, that's when they launched the new Hearthstone expansion, One Night in Karazhan.
What is that?
And it's super fun, the first wing. And I suppose the free match that you play as Medivh. And then the first wing, which you have to pay for. All fun.
Yeah, it's great.
The first part of the first silver wing. Golem. The silver golem. I think I did that about three or four times before I finally built the druid deck that I knew I needed to build. But I didn't want to because I don't play druids.
I just had to use my mage deck.
I don't play mage either. That was the thing. I was like, shit. I looked at his ability. It was summon a plate for free. And I was like, I need to either do a mage or druid because they're the best for AoE. But I don't want to do a mage or druid. So I tried my Murloc deck a couple times and that didn't quite work out that great.
I tried my priest deck first and that was the biggest mistake.
And then, there was the magic mirror. Which I don't even remember what his thing was, but... That was fine.
Yeah, it duplicates
every all right. creature played. Duplicates every creature played. And I assumed, I actually took my hunter deck into that, assuming that it would duplicate every creature played for him. So I was like, all right, I want to take a deck that's not fully reliant on minions, which for me is my hunter deck. I got so many traps and all that stuff that's not fully reliant on summoning minions.
That's what and I have to.
Halfway through, I realized, oh, when I play a minion, it summons a copy for me, and when he plays a minion, it summons a copy for him.
Yeah.
So I could, I mean, I think I beat it with my hunter anyway, but...
I tried it, and I was like, oh, this sounds cool. I'll do this with this one, the priest deck, so, like, if I do play a minion, doubles for him, it's not going to be that bad for me, because I'll just buff mine up. But, yeah, when it turned out to be both of them, after I lost, I just did my mage, and it was...
No, it's a pretty fun one. But most importantly...
Oh, yes. Most
importantly. The chess.
The chess.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was so good. It was
so good. And so weird. And so different than anything else that we have done in that game previously.
Yeah. It was so good. I want a game type where you can play with other people.
Yes, as the chess.
Yeah. It was neat.
So good. It was very neat.
It's worth at least buying the first wing for that.
Yeah. Just spend the, what is it, like 500 gold or something, or $4, $5 probably.
For just the wing. For the whole set.
Yeah, it's $20 this week at least. $20 for the whole set of four wings, plus you get and a card back.
Card back.
I bought it for myself, obviously, and then I bought it for Erica on my phone because I don't play Hearthstone on my phone that much, so it just stays on her account. So I decided I would buy it for her on that. It's her only card back. But it's fine because it's super purple, so she loves it.
Yeah, Caitlin loves it too.
It's super purple. And it's really fun. The first wing, really, really fun. That chess game is amazing. I think I ended it, I had like three or four queens on the deck at the end.
Yeah.
Because I kept discovering, just use your hero power to discover a card. Like, oh, take the queen. Oh, take the queen.
And the enemy's destroy the leftmost.
Destroy the leftmost. That's what I always throw
pawns on the left pawns, side.
Yeah. Throw a pawn on the left side. Keep my knight. I had a knight in second most. So I keep my knight safe. Throw a pawn on the left side. That's what I would have two knights on the board. And then any time I had two knights on the board, I would discover I would take a queen if it was there. Because yep. Knights are great, too.
Knights are great.
They're the only ones that don't auto-attack, and they're there for clearing the other enemies out so you can attack the king. God, that chess is fun. Good and job. Totally... Yeah, and totally not like Hearthstone. But still kind of like Hearthstone. Enough to make sense to be in that game.
Yeah.
So that gives me hope that maybe they'll do weird things in the next couple of wings as well. Hopefully, we will be severely disappointed when everything else is just basic Hearthstone.
I'd imagine there's going to be something for the Romulo.
Oh yeah, God, the Playhouse. God, the Playhouse. Yeah.
I wonder if the whole next wing is going to be like each of the plays.
Each of the plays, it's possible. Cool. Because there's three of them, isn't there? I think there's only three.
Only three I can think of.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz, Little Red Riding Hood, and Romulo, and...
Romulo and whatever Juliet is?
Juliet is, yeah.
Yeah. Don't remember it either. But yeah, super fun. Karazhan is great. Hearthstone is great. Blizzard is, and with the Legion pre-patch being so great, Karazhan being great, Overwatch doing their Olympics thing and that being great. They're on a roll, guys. Blizzard is blizzarding it up.
Yeah. Not to mention the StarCraft thing with their little missions.
The Nova missions, yeah. Nova missions 2 came out, what was that, last week? I didn't actually see that except that I saw my friend tweeting about how he picked it up.
I haven't experienced it myself, but I know a bunch of people who say that Diablo Season 7 awesome.
I was going to say, people love Season 7. That started a couple weeks back. And there's Heroes. I mean, Auriel came out, last week?
Yeah. She's complicated.
She's the second angel.
She is.
What can you say?
Not a support that I like to play.
So, I mean, but people do like her. I've heard good things mostly. People like her.
Yeah. And there's going to be more news coming up for Heroes either at BlizzCon or GamesCon
soon. For sure. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, each one of their games right now has something going on that people are really liking.
The so, point you know. Where Blizzard Battle.net was having issues the other day, and I didn't know what to do with my afternoon.
I haven't had any major issues with Battle.net. I've had that thing that it doesn't automatically... I open it, and it doesn't automatically connect. I have to click go online sometimes.
It was on Wednesday, I think. In the afternoon, evening, they were under a big DDoS attack.
Oh, were they actually getting it? Because I know it was a while...
It wasn't actually them, it was...
Yeah, no, it was people were DDoSing...
network.
ISPs.
ISPs that they were on or touching.
So there was nothing that they could do directly about it. Yeah. Which is unfortunate. But anyway, Blizzard guys, they're great. All right, let's move on to the last thing in here, which I forget what it is because I saw something about it. And then I forgot about it. So what is GoldenEye Source 5, Andrew? I forget.
Oh, boy. Yes. GoldenEye
yes.
Source is a community project built on the Half-Life Source engine to just, like, upscale GoldenEye. And this has been going on for a few years.
A while, yeah.
Quite a few years. And this 5.0 version just is about to be released. It's not out yet. But it looks amazing. Like, I think this is, like, as good as it's going to get, really. Like, it is spot on with how GoldenEye functions. And
you know, they did a re-release on PlayStation 3 of GoldenEye. It was fun.
That was the GoldenEye... Like it was like a different game. Like they replaced it with Daniel Craig and stuff.
Yeah, they replaced it with it. It was the same.
Yeah, it was on Xbox, PS3, and
PC. They changed a couple of things around, but it was basically the same game. And for some odd reason, they changed it to Daniel Craig. And
they made it like more like a shooter. Like it was just basically like the shooter with all the context of GoldenEye, the game.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. But this game is a lot more like GoldenEye. Not in the trash controls way. but like in how it feels and looks. So like when you're running around, you don't have a reticle unless you were to zoom in and then you can see the little red dot. But you can still aim and stuff. That's just the first thing that comes to mind that was the same as the GoldenEye. And it's in the Source engine, so it looks good.
Goodish.
But that'll be out soon. Yeah, the trailer is up for it, and then it's going to be out on Steam as a standalone purchase. Whether that purchase is free or not, I don't remember.
Whether that purchase is free?
If it's not, it's not on Steam right now, so I don't have a way to check.
I'm not sure if it's really a purchase if it's free.
Oh, you still gotta air quotes purchase it if it's free.
Don't you just download it? Isn't it just click download when it's a free game on Steam? I
don't think so.
Like all those, I'm pretty sure. I thought. I recall because I've downloaded a couple of those, like, free-to-play MMO types. And I want to say it always said, like, it's already in your Steam library, just download it. Even though it wasn't actually. But I don't know, that could vary game to game. Also, it's semantics and doesn't actually matter.
Right,
doesn't matter. so that sounds good. GoldenEye is good. Source engine is good. Let's move on to the comics and the comics, because there's no books this week. So let's start by getting some moonshine. So Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso, who are decently well-known names in comics, are coming together again to make a comic series called Moonshine. So it's in the Depression era, or the Prohibition era, rather, which is also the Depression era, isn't it? I think they had some overlap, at least.
I think so.
So, Moonshine is, and I quote, a gangster tale with a horror twist. So, set during Prohibition, Moonshine number one tells the story of Lou Perillo. Perillo. A city slick torpedo, which I don't know what torpedo means, but it's probably some gangster term. Sent from New York to negotiate a deal with a moonshiner in West Virginia, Hiram Holt. What Lou doesn't know about is that Holt is just as cunning and ruthless as any New York City crime boss. Because not only will Holt do anything to protect his booze operation, he'll stop at nothing to protect a much darker family secret. A bloody supernatural secret that must never see the light of day. Or better still, the light of the full moon. So it's going to be gangsters and new Prohibition gangsters and werewolves. And that sounds awesome. Because one, Prohibition gangsters is awesome. And moonshiners and shine runners, all good. So are werewolves. You know? So, also, it's got some real great art. It's really well drawn. That comes out.
So, Prohibition. It was 1920 to 1933.
So,
the Great Depression was 29 to 30.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of overlap. I didn't think Depression started in the 20. I thought it might have started in the 20s.
I didn't know Prohibition was so long.
Yeah, it was a while. So this comic comes out October 5th. I'm almost definitely going to pick it up, you know, unless I forget or have no money. But that's like a full month after Fan Expo. I'll probably have money again. Enough for a comic.
Enough to recoup funds.
All right, next on the docket is Hellboy the Sailor Man. Because in 2017, Hellboy, they're going to get another original graphic novel called Hellboy Into the Silent Sea. This is written by Mike Mignolo, I want to say, is probably how you say that last name.
See another Nola? Name in comics that I should know.
No, I don't know it. That's why I'm not trying to pronounce it. Written by Mike Mignola and illustrated by Gary Gianni. It's colors by Dave Stewart. I don't know any of these people. But this sounds cool. One, it's Hellboy. Hellboy is always cool.
Hellboy is neat.
And it's so following the events of the classic Hellboy, a classic cowboy story, The Island. Hellboy sets sail from the wreckage of a deserted island only to cross paths with a ghost ship. Taken captive by the Phantom Crew, that plans to sell him to the circus, Hellboy is dragged along by a captain who will stop at nothing in pursuit of a powerful sea creature. So,
interesting.
It is all black and white and dour looking. That's not the word I wanted, but it looks it's clearly one type of semi horror style, and Hellboy is always good. And it's a good thing they're doing more original graphic novels for Hellboy, since the original stories are all done. And I mean, he's been around for a long time, so the creator, I believe, is dead. This one, this is the third OGN, original graphic novel. First one was House of the Living Dead, and then Midnight Circus, I think, or maybe that's the vice versa, I don't know. And this one should be coming out in spring 2017. More Hellboy is good Hellboy. And lastly, Andrew, Ghost Riding the Chain. Because I couldn't say the whip because he doesn't use a whip. That is the joke that I was going for with that headline, though. Do you know what that means?
Does he have a new car?
Well, he does have a car. He does have a car, but do you know what Ghost Riding the Whip is?
No.
That's good. That's good. I don't know why I know what that is.
New car.
Well, a whip is a car, yes.
Yeah.
A whip is a nice car.
I'm but in ghost, with the kids.
No. Ghost Riding the Whip is a thing where they like have their driver driving their car and they'll slow down. They'll get out of the door and they walk or dance or something next to the car as the car drives. And they get back in. That was a thing a few years back. I don't know why. It's probably still a thing. I bet you if you Google Ghost Riding the Whip, it'll come up with YouTube links. I'm Googling that right now.
Oh, wow. Google autofills and everything.
Ghost Riding the Whip. Fail. Ghost Riding the Whip. Fail. So, yeah. Yep, it's people getting out of the cars as they drive and walk slash dancing next to their vehicle, mostly.
Oh, God, yep. That's terrifying.
It's a terrible idea. I don't know. It's a great way to get your foot won over. I don't know
that's why insurance goes up so much.
Because people are stupid? Yeah.
Kids these days.
Anyway.
Oh, God. I wish I didn't know that was a thing.
You're welcome. I hope I ruined somebody else's week as well. Back to comics. So since Ghost Rider is going to show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., obviously he's now getting a new comic series.
Because we need to know about him.
Mm-hmm. So the Robbie Reyes... Ghost Rider, which is different than the one that Cage played. Anyway, it's a different Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider's been like three different people. So a bizarre object has been discovered in Southern California, and the mystery behind it has led Amadeus Cho, who is the totally awesome Hulk, that was totally awesome, capitalized, so part of his title, up to Ghost Rider's backyard. What chaos will be unleashed when this Jade Genius comes face to face with the ultimate speed demon? I've heard of Amadeus Cho, and I knew he was a genius in the Marvel Universe. I don't know when he became a Hulk. But apparently there's more Hulks out there than I realize. That's a thing. And yeah, he's not really a rider. Robbie Reyes has a car. It's a fancy ass sports car or something with a big L Hemi. He just doesn't ride a motorcycle.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, he's got a muscle car, and Gabriel Luna is the actor who's going to be playing him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, and this comic arrives in November.
Oh, wow.
I think this is the first comic I've talked about in like a month's worth of episodes that hasn't come out in October.
Yeah.
It's not entirely true, because there's a couple that come out in 2017, but October is going to be a big month.
I'm really digging this cover that I found of it.
Oh, with him in the chain on top walking of the on the
cover.
Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost riding the chain. It was this cover that made me write that headline in our notes.
So sad. We've never been so relevant with the youth audience.
I am so glad that I ruined your day by telling you that existed.
Yep.
All right, that's all we have for this week. You can follow us on the Twitters. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-75. Andrew?
Oh, I'm at DUP3.
You can follow the show at Gweekly News, GWEEKLYNEWS. What was that? Are you just not paying attention? Or are you watching Ghost Riding the Whip videos?
I just forgot I was supposed to say something.
Our website is GweeklyNews.com, where you can find the links to the couple of trailers we talked about. You can comment. You can comment if I ruined your day. Or week, or life, by telling you the Ghost Riding the Whip is a thing. Awesome. You can leave a comment. Leave a comment on the bottom of the page for this episode, or you can email us at feedback@gweeklynews.com. Or you could leave a post on facebook.com/gweeklynews. That's a thing that we also have. Or you can leave an iTunes review about how badly I ruined your life.
5 stars. Ruined my life. 10 out of 10.
That is actually what a lot of reviews read like that. Like, it's, this podcast ruined my life. 5 stars.
If we can get some of those. Yes, please.
Those are the best reviews. So... thank you for listening and putting up with us. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.